It is such a privilege.
Used to be we had guaranteed appointments. Now I'm just.
I can't. I'll try not to get you fired. It is such a privilege to be back here. I asked Kelly, I said, when was the last time we were at Walnut Grove? And I think it was around 22, 23, maybe even 21, I don't know. But Kelly is usually my cohort. She is with me all the time doing revivals. And so when Chris said that that y'all wanted us, and I said, well, you got me. so many people come for Kelly. But anyway, my name is Matt Stoneberg, the ones that don't know me. I have battled cerebral palsy all my life. And God has really healed me on that, and you'll hear more about that later on if you so choose to come back during the revivals. Been married for 12 years to Kelly. Kelly has been in the ministry for 20 years, and I've been very blessed by her. And so, without further ado, I ain't going to ramble on too much. But this is my second revival. I was in 96, South Carolina. If you don't know where 96 is, if you blink, you miss it. So I was privileged to be there and preach at Cambridge Methodist Church, right in the town of 96. And I texted Hank Brooks, he's the pastor there, and I said, I'm praying for you, because he told me when I left last Sunday, he said, I don't know what to preach now. So we'll see what happens there. I've seen some wonderful miracles happening there, and you'll hear a little bit more about that later on. I saw a man's eyesight come back. He was one of the last ones that I prayed over, and he came up, and he had a shield over his eye. He was completely blind. He couldn't see out of his left eye. And his wife helped him up and stood in front of him. We started praying over him. And I anointed him with oil. And just thank God for him and ask God to come in between me and him. And and when I got finished with it, he quit. I said, take off your glasses. He took off his glasses and said, what can you see? His face got bright. He said, I see you. So we rejoice with that as well. So I hope this don't scare you off from the revival messages this tonight and Monday night as well. If you would, I got to have my glasses. I'm getting to the point in my life that I got to have to get. Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. I'll wait till everybody gets there. Let's hear the word of God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of God for the people of God. So as Chris mentioned, I was a pastor in the lower part of this country. Now, don't ask me where smokes is. I had to ask the DS when I was called there. But I was very much used to doing what I'm doing now. Just going into churches and preaching. I'd never been in charge of a congregation, much less three congregations, because I had a three-point charge. And in 2015, I was called to go to these churches. And I was scared to death. I had no idea what I was doing. And so I went to one of the churches in the evening time. I coordinated with some of my visiting. And so I went into the church, and I was by myself. It was about 6 o'clock in the evening. And I laid my 235-pound frame on the altar. Because that's the only way that I knew what to do. I didn't know anything else to do. So I laid myself on the altar, and I said, "Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but you know. And Lord, I want your will to be done, not mine, but yours." And I started seeing the water just in a vision. I started seeing the water just pouring down the walls of the church. And I knew that God had it. So my question is this morning, and are you willing to lay your life down? Now, this is to get you ready for revival. This is getting you ready for what's going to happen these two nights. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm alone for the ride. It freaks people out when I say that. It freaks my wife when I say that. But I hope and pray that you can find it in your way to come back tonight and tomorrow night to see what God is up to. I don't want you to come to hear Matt Snowbrook because I'm just me. I want you to come and feel and hear and touch and taste the Holy Spirit. But every good thing comes from heaven, right? But before we can taste that good stuff, we have to get on the altar. We have to sacrifice our flesh in order to feel God in our midst. We have to understand that it's not about us. It's about Him and His movements. If we want to see a big movement of God, we have to sacrifice ourselves. We have to understand that we have to give our dignity and our self-image. We are living in a narcissistic world right now. And denying ourselves is out of the question for a lot of us. But we have to deny ourselves. Luke 9:23 says this, that if anyone should come after me, should deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. But in a narcissistic world, and it has slipped into the church, it's hard to even think about denying ourselves. Because denying ourselves gives up control. Hello. Churches, people in the church love to think that they're in control. Let me tell you something. And this is probably going to get you kicked out. I don't know. You're not in charge. I was reading a book, and I'm a prolific reader, if you follow me on Facebook. But I was reading this book called Revival Hunger by James Levesque. If you hadn't read it, read it. And there was a man that had a vision in that church, and he went to James Levesque, and he was telling the vision, and James kind of put him off to the side because he thought it was too outlandish. He didn't want false teaching in his church. But the vision of it was Jesus' head was floating.
Ooh, a floating head.
Yeah, it was a floating head. And James LeVette said, no, that's kind of outlandish. I don't want this in my church. But the Holy Spirit convicted his heart and let man tell the vision. And so the man stood up in the pulpit and said that he had a vision with Jesus' head floating. And this is what the head was saying. I want my body back.
Oh.
Oh. That's good. I want my body back. We want revival, but we don't do what needs to be done in order to get revival. And that's to sacrifice ourselves. That's to give Jesus his body back. He's the head of the church. You're not. He's the head of the church. Chris is not. I'm not. Kelly's not. Nobody that sits behind that pulpit is in control. Our main purpose is to lead you into the presence of God. And if I don't do that in the next 2 nights, then I have failed my God. So are you willing, Walnut Grove, to lay yourself down? Are you willing to lay it all down so you can really be in revival tonight? Because this is not about me. I think that if we take this serious enough, we'll see a big movement of God. I heard it put this way before. Pastor Ron Carpenter Jr., I don't know if you know him or not, but I follow him on TikTok. And he said it in this way, and it's been marinating in my heart for about three months. And he said it this way. He said, I don't want to be a form of godliness. Listen up now. I don't want to be a form of godliness without power. And then he went on and he said that if Jesus is not right here, if Jesus is not in our hearts, then what are we doing? We might as well close those doors and go to Waffle House. We can do that anyway. I wouldn't let them off. Are we ready, church? Because there's revival happening all over the place. There's on the college campuses. Have you been thinking lately? So what are we doing? Singing a few songs, listening to a good preacher? And then going home, where's the transformation? The problem of it is that we had so many people that grew up in church, but didn't grow up in Christ. We got so many people that have grown up in church. Oh, I've been, Pastor, I've been in church all my life. Well, that's good. Do you know Jesus? Well, that's good. Satan's been in church all his life as well. Well, I know scripture. Well, that's good. Satan knows scripture too. That's because it's not enough to believe in God. We have to believe God. Do you see the difference there? Believing in God versus believing God in His Word. You know what really has gotten me is that somebody somewhere, probably a drunkard somewhere, is going to take up the Word of God, believe it, and bring more people to the church. Faith is as solid as the mustard seed. I didn't know what was the gospel reading this morning, but it kind of went really well with the sermon. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? Very tiny. But it grows to a big old tree. Faith has to grow. It has to be nurtured. It has to be watered by the Holy Spirit. It has to go beyond the four walls of the church. Are we willing to let it go beyond what we know? What we're comfortable with? Oh, I like my pew, Pastor. I know people that sit in the same pew every single Sunday.
Well, yeah.
And it can be good. It can be really good. But are you glued to that spot? I also heard another preacher saying, and told his congregation to stand up. And every one of them stood up and said, "Touch the back of the pew." And the guy, and they all touched the back of the pews. And he said, "Do you know why it's called a pew?" Because if you sit too long, it's going to start stinking. Jesus Christ never died for us to sit in a church. John Wesley never intended for Methodism to be a brick and mortar church. His vision was the movement of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I like the GMC so much. Because we hear it across the board, and being married to the number two seat in the GMC, I get to hear a lot of stuff. And lots of them I wish I didn't listen to. But we hear it across the board, across the nation, that they want a movement. That's what attracted me to the GMC. Because the more and more I study, the more and more I bear myself into his presence, the more I want. The more I desire, the more I get hungry for it. I get hungry for God, and I want everything that the Holy Spirit has for me. I was introduced in 2015 to Altar Gate Renewal Ministry. I'll tell you a little bit more about that tonight. But there I started seeing Methodism in a small charismatic light. It was almost like the Methodists were going back to the roots of Methodism. Oh, that's not the church. That's not Methodism. We don't raise our hands in church. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what I heard in our former expression. Now I'm not bad mouthing United Methodists, and that's where I grew up. That's where I cut my teeth in ministry. And there's a lot of good that came out of that church. It's where I learned that I had to lay on the altar. I didn't hear it much in the pulpit area. But I had a man, I had two guys that God put in my life. John Childers is one of them. And then I called him little Tommy Watson. He was only like 4'8". And they were my mentors. They ushered me into the Holy Spirit. They made me understand that I needed to hear the Holy Spirit. And to have that discernment, to have that cultivation. It's pretty sad that I didn't hear it in the church. I had to go outside the church to understand. I grew up in church, but I didn't grow in Christ. I went to a Carmen concert. I mean, you know what Carmen is? Only a few of them. I went to a Carmen concert because my buddy went. I raised my hand. I look good on the outside, but on the inside, I was dead. I joined a choir when I was 14 years old, a men's group when I was 14 years old. I was singing in the choir. I was having a great time. But I didn't know who Jesus was until 1994. December 19th, 1994, I went to a play called This Thing Called Jesus at Abraham Baptist Church. They had live animals, and it was a huge play. And that's where I got to see Jesus. That's where I understood who Jesus was and what he did for me. And there was a part in the play where they brought Jesus out, and they were whipping him as he was carried across, and I started crying uncontrollably. And there was a part of me that wanted to stand up in my chair and say, "No!" But I didn't see the actor. I started seeing Jesus and what he was doing. And when he hung up on the cross, There was a song called "Who Nailed the Nails." There was a song from the Romans perspective. And later on, they gave an altar call, and I found that big old man. He was just a bear of a man. And I sought him out, and I said on one of the stage props, and he came up to me, and he said, "What can I pray for?" And I said, "My temper." Because I had a reputation in high school that I'm not very proud of. I had a young man come up to me. He was in ninth grade, I was in 11th grade. He came up to me and he said, "You're Matt Stillbrook." I said, "Yes." He said, "Better known as Bulldog." I said, "Yes." But that was my nickname in high school. And I went to extend my hand, and he took it away, and he said, "No, I just wanted to know who you were." That was the start of my transformation. And then later on, I went outside, and I was already tired, already ready to go home. And I was outside having lunch, and a girl gave me a note, and I had it in my hand. A guy came up to me, ripped it off out of my hand. He didn't mean anything by it. He was just being a boy. And he shoved me on the back. Well, I told you that I was kicked off and I was ready to go home. Well, I stood up and I looked at that guy and I gave him choice words. And I had about five friends jump on me. So they knew what I was going to do. And after about a couple minutes went by, my friend Jason Dooley looked up at me. He said, "Hold on, you okay?" "I'm all right." He said, "No." He said, "Are you okay?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm okay." So they one by one let me go. And when I saw that other guy the next day, I said, "Brian, why did you run?" And we were outside. And he said something that shook me to the core. He said, "For long, I saw hell in your eyes." And right then and there, I knelt down and I cried. And a week later, I was at that play. I gave my life to Christ. Now, was I perfect? No, I was not perfect. I was kind of like David. You know, I was a man after God's own heart, but I kept on falling off. I was in some relationships that I shouldn't have been in. I was doing things that I shouldn't have done. And it wasn't until I got all that crap out of my body, out of my way, out of my life, that God said, "Now you're right where I need you to be." That was in 2005. Fast forward a little bit. 2009, I got to meet Kelly for the first time. Since I was part of the religion program at Spartanburg Methodist, I was able to go to a Bible support, I guess to say, you know. And so I got to meet her again. I met her in 2000 at a revival. Yeah, met her at a revival. I was with somebody at the time, and when she came to that Bible Emporium, I got to meet her a little bit better, preach at her church, and in 2013 we got married. And I'm not saying this because she's not here. Probably one of the best, I know it is, the best, other than my salvation, best choice I had made. Point of it is that we can be in church and be whitewashed tombs. Dead inside. Or we can know about God. We can know about His love. But knowing Him is so different. But if you don't know Him this morning, if you are struggling with your relationship, don't leave out of His doors without knowing Him. Jesus wants His body back. He died upon the cross. He was tortured for 24 hours. His beard ripped out. His flesh ripped to shreds. And He said this upon the cross. Through all the struggles and probably gurgling through the blood, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I'll be scared under the water. Forgive them. For they did not know what to do. Jesus loves us so much that He don't want us to just be a better version of ourselves. He wants us to be His children. He wants us to see, there's a distinction. We're not all God's children. No. The Bible tells us clearly that some of us were the children of Satan before we became children of Him. But He wants every one of us to be saved. He wants every one of us to know Him. He wants every one of us to come as we are. But He loves us so much. He don't want us to stay the same. I'm not the same as I was yesterday. Because I want God to keep on molding me and holding me until I look like Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son. And whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Be real. Be blessed. And be disciples God can use on a daily basis. And I love you. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves you a whole lot more. Thank you.